Greetings again. Now, I want you all, I know you all have your Bibles, don't you? You know what the pastor does, and all, this is my Bible and all that? Well, let's get our Bibles out and let's turn to the book of James, please. You're going to help me. I am fighting laryngitis. And it is an intense fight. And I'm going to win this by faith. But you're going to help me with some of the reading. We're going to start a series on the book of James. And when we're done with that, we're going to do a series on the book of Romans. And when we're done with that, we're going to do a series on the book of Hebrews. And we're going to go through the Word of God, because that's the most important thing in the world today, is to know the Word of God and have it ready for whenever we need it. And we need it all the time. There isn't a moment throughout the day that we should not be meditating on the Word of God. And it's the only thing that's going to get us through these Jacob's trouble. And I believe that we will go through Jacob's trouble if we are not already going through it right now. And shall we pray right now? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your people who are Bible-reading, Bible-believing people. And we want to put your word into practice. We want to have our faith come alive. We want to be like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith that works. You see, there are so many things that are called faith today. And what they are is just a system of beliefs. And I'm thankful that our faith works. That when we take the formulae that are in the book of God, in the Word of God, if we apply these principles and these things, if we obey the Scriptures, they work. Jesus rose from the dead by faith. He believed that the Father would raise him from the grave. And so it said that his face was set like a flint to go to Jerusalem, and nothing could turn him to the right nor to the left. But he went, and he went through all that suffering, and he died, and his faith was honored, because on the third day he rose again. And now he has the ability, he has the power to make us all sons of God by faith. Let's read. And I want to have some of you read for me. I'll read the first verse. And then, Becky, would you read the next? When I tell you. James. Stop right there. James was a brother of Jesus. Did you know that? The writer of the book of James was one of Jesus' doubting brothers who wanted to have him committed to an institution. They came to get him. And that was when Jesus said, "Who is my mother and who is my brethren? These that do the will of God are my mother and my brethren." James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, his attitude changed, didn't it? His attitude changed towards his brother. His brother became his Lord, Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. I'm going to stop there. Who are these 12 tribes? Yes, you've got it. We are the 12 tribes scattered abroad, because by faith we have been grafted into Israel, who was scattered abroad to the four winds. And there were very few people could identify themselves with the tribe of Issachar, or the tribe of Naphtali, or the tribe of Reuben, because they were scattered abroad. And now we are the 12 tribes. It's to us. This book of James is for you and for me today. And we are scattered abroad across the whole earth. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is worldwide. And the satellite is getting the message to the whole world. And everybody is hearing this glorious three angels message at last. It's getting around. It's getting about. And Satan is doing everything to turn us away from the message and get us to live like the world, act like the world, dress like the world. and be like the world so that there is no difference and nobody will come to our church. Why should they? There are far more entertaining ones out there. And if we are just a dull dishwater rag type of imitation of the world, why would they want to come here? They can go to Millbrook, or they can go to entertaining churches. We're not very entertaining around here, but we're truth-filled. We got the truth. And we preach the truth. And we need to live the truth. Because faith without works is dead. But this faith works if you work it. Second verse. Are you happy today? Because look at the trials we've been facing. We just had a list as long as your arm of trials and tests and temptations and all kinds of things that are besetting us and pressing us down. Do you feel joy this morning? I do. Because I know I'm making the devil mad. Because I'm going to make it. Are you going to make it? He and she that endureth unto the end shall be saved. But you got to want it. You got to want it desperately. You got to want it with all your heart. That's living faith. Not just believing a bunch of do's and don'ts and I should be nice to my neighbor and not make waves and all this kind of business and just kind of leave people alone and let them live. No, 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 no. Your life should be shining so brightly that the world is either drawn to you or scattering like a bunch of cockroaches when the lights are turned on. One way or the other. People are going to come to you or they're going to be repelled simply because you are who you are. A light set on a hill. That's what you're supposed to be. Who's got a Bible? Who's going to read the next verse? Verse 3. Next one. How about Lorraine? Would you read that? James, first chapter, verse 3. Verse 3. Okay. Larry, go ahead. Do you know that? Trying of your faith works patience. Patience is getting a going over today. It's getting a working over. It's getting worked over. Your patience is getting worked over because of the trials and temptations and the things that are besetting us and all the things that are going wrong are testing your patience. Chapter verse 4, and that deep voice that was reading, read that one. Wow, what does that mean? Somebody read that in another translation. Yeah. Not lacking anything. Okay. Patience will perfect you. Patience will perfect your faith. Patience will help you believe when everything says give up. Be patient. Keep on believing. Keep on going. Do not give up. Persistent belief will perfect your faith, that you may be perfect and entire. In other words, faithful. Full of faith and complete. That's a goal worth attaining, isn't it? Can you do it? Yes, you can. Verse 5. Somebody. Okay, how many here lack wisdom? All the rest of you are wise, but I lack it and I need more. And I'm going to ask for more. Because no matter how much I ask for, I still need more. We need wisdom. And it says, ask God. He gives to all liberally. God wants to give you a liberal dose of wisdom. Do you want some? I do. I need it. And he's not gonna bawl me out for asking. Some people think that God is too busy to bother with their little life. Well, he's so intimately concerned about you that he wants you to ask, 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 and keep on asking. And he will give it to you liberally. You need wisdom, he's going to give it to you. It shall be given him. But, there's a but, always a but. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. What's this wavering stuff he's talking about? Doubt. How do you get rid of doubt? Because it's there. It just nags at us. It's no matter how much God has done for me, I still doubt him. Why? Why do we do that to ourselves? Are we nuts? We are. There's something wrong with us. What's the matter with us that we keep on doubting God when he answers prayer over and over and over again, keeps on answering prayer, and we doubt him again? How soon we forget. We need to ask him, what did the man say? I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. I don't want a doubt, but there it is. Help me get rid of it. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Sometimes does it not feel that way, that we're being hurled about, that we're being bashed, that things are just, you just get one thing straightened out and something else comes along. You just climb over one hill and there's another one. You just never come to the end of it, do you? So faith says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to stick to it. I'm not going to give up. Because why? Because I believe God. I believe God. If he makes a promise to me, I'm going to hold on to it and believe it and expect it. Do you know that our salvation is prophetic and by faith? How many of you are in heaven today? By faith. It have to be, because we're not. We're right here on this earth. But by faith we say we are saved. And how do we know? Because his word says that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But we're not in heaven yet. So how is it that we are saved? By faith. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Why do I say to others, I know I am saved? Because God's word promises it to me, and he's as good as his word. And you can take that to the bank. It's true. If you dare believe, miracles are possible for you. If you need a miracle, ask God to perform it. If you don't believe he can, don't ask him. That's what that says. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Let's somebody read verse 8. Someone is in pain, and it doesn't seem like quickly. Someone listening is thinking of leaving their family. Someone else is just experiencing a double-minded man. Now, is that just men? Oh, it's not just men. Now, sometimes, everybody can be dumb once in a while and make a mistake. Yeah, they can. And being double-minded is one of these things, well, I don't know, should I pray for this or shouldn't I pray for this? Well, should I ask him or not? Is he going to give it to me? I don't know. God, will you? Nah, he won't. Nah. Make up your mind what you want. Ask God for it and believe him for it. Don't be wavering, wondering whether it's God's will. If it's God's will, well, it's God's will for you to ask. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Who said that? Was he lying? Was he telling the truth? Can you believe it? Well, isn't that simple, isn't it? And yet we make it so complicated. And here's a good one. Read number 9, verse 9. I'm enjoying this. This is the Word of God. Number 9.
Welcome to another edition of the More Abundant Life Radio.
Right. Let the brother of low degree. Now, who is a brother of low degree? Who makes that decision that somebody is of a low degree and somebody is of a high degree? Did God make that decision? Or was it us? Do we look at some people as a being of a lower degree than ourselves and some of being of a higher degree than ourselves? Why do we do that? Because we judge by appearances. How people look, how people act, how people smell. Now, somebody that doesn't dress good, groom themselves good, and has an obnoxious smell, we would classify them as a brother of low degree, would we not? Maybe don't have a job. Or maybe are a little simple. But to God, He is not a brother of low degree. Just to us. Now, it goes on to say, what's the next one say? Verse 10. Well, okay, let's rejoice that even if we are rich, let's rejoice in our humbling. That the riches might not possess us. You see, when Jesus came to the young rich man, or the rich young ruler came to him, and the young man was a good man. He was rich, but he was a good fellow. And he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, well, just give away all you have and come follow me. Pretty simple. But what did he do? He went away sorrowing. What did he esteem greater than the riches of Christ? His own puny wealth. So if a rich person can get over it and realize that his riches are given to him to give to the cause of God. If you're a Christian, that's what your riches are given to you for. If you're not a Christian, it's all for you. But if you've been given riches and you're a Christian, it's to go to the cause of God. Whatever you have, if you can't part with it, it's your God. It's what you esteem higher than Christ. So are you ready to get rid of it, because it's not going to do you any good in the grave? It says, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away, and you can't take it with you. Naked you come into the world, and you leave it the same way. So if we have anything in this world, we thank God for it, but we thank God it does not possess us. Verse 11, who's got that? Who's going to read it? That's right. Now, am I going to say, don't try? Give up your job and don't worry about it? No. Use what God has given you by faith. And how do you get faith that works out of what God has given you if He's given you riches? You put it to work. You put your money where your mouth is. If you're professing Christ, then you put that money there. Ooh. I don't have any. So put what you have. What was Moses told to do? What have you got in your hand, Moses? That's what I want you to use. Whatever you've got in your hand, whatever your talent is, whatever God has given to you, He wants you to give it away. Talk about love. If you hoard love to yourself, you don't have any. It dies. But if you give it away, it grows. Talk about faith. If you use the little bit that God has given you, it will multiply. You will receive more. If you invest God's money in God's work, God will give you more to invest, because He can trust you. But if you hoard it, then it becomes your God, and you don't love Christ. Sorry. It's as simple as that. Jesus said, follow me. Just give it all to the poor and follow me. If he'd only been willing to do so. Who knows? But Jesus said, I was only testing you. Wasn't Abraham told to kill his son? And if he'd have been, he was willing, wasn't he? If that young rich man had been willing to give up his money, Jesus may have said, no, I was just testing you. Hold on to it. Use it for my glory. Whenever I ask for it, use it for me. Just don't love it any more than I. Don't love it any more than Jesus. That's a living faith. Faith that works. Next verse.
Sung by Whitley Phipps. You're listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. This is Adrian Weston Jr., your host for today's program.
All right, how many believe in Murphy's Law? Murphy was a wise man, wasn't he? Whatever can go wrong will go wrong, and become a Christian and triple that. You think things are bad when you're out in the world, become a Christian. A real one. You see, when you become a Christian, you don't join a church. You are born again into an organism, something that is alive, and it needs nurture, and it needs to be united. It needs to work together. It needs to have nourishment from it within, from the roots. The roots. And you need to take nourishment from the vine and bear fruit. It works together. You're not a lone wolf in the church. You don't work outside the church. It doesn't work. You've got to be part of the structure. You got to be part of the vine. You got to be part of the plant. It's got to be working together. It doesn't work otherwise. And Jesus says, there are sheep, other sheep have I, that are not of this fold. So what's that? That means that we who are of this fold must go find those sheep that aren't here. For there shall be one shepherd and one fold. And it's only going to happen if we do it. We're building a new church. And it's going to be a doozy. It's going to be faith-filled, Holy Spirit-filled, full of purpose, full of power, full of what it takes to get to heaven. Because we need the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, our faith falls flat on its face. Of myself, I can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't this great? Book of James. This is somebody that didn't have any faith and thought that Jesus was crazy. And turned his life around and became the author of the book of James. Now he's preaching Jesus, whom he once doubted. He had wavering faith, but now when that tomb was opened and Jesus came forth from the grave, made a difference in the life of James, made a difference in the life of Grant. For when I truly believed that Jesus was risen from the dead, all this began to make sense. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is gobbledygook. But with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it works. For if that same Spirit, which raised up Christ from the dead, dwell in you, it shall also quicken your mortal body. My mortal body needs quickening today. I need a touch in my throat. That's why I'm getting you all to read. Read the next verse. Somebody. How about Gloria Curry? Have you got it? Gloria Clayton. James. That's right. God did not put anything on you. You were, the devil did not make you do it. You were drawn away by your own thinking. You looked at something too long that you know was not good for you, and you dwelt on it and thought about it and did it. And that's how it happens. Every person, says man, but that talks about women and children too. Every person is tempted when he, she, is drawn away of your own desires. I want it. I want it. I want it. I'm going to get it. And they're enticed, and it happens that way, doesn't it? Devil didn't make you do it, but he sure was cheering for you. Wasn't he? That's his job. He does it well, but we can do all things through Christ, can't we? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember that when you're tempted. Verse 15. Somebody. Right. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I like that but. Because that turns a negative into a positive. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Is there some besetting sin that you just can't get rid of? It just keeps coming back. You just keep doing it over and over and over again. You say, Lord, deliver me. But then you go out and you light it up again, or you pour it into your mouth again. What it is, whatever it is, he is greater than that sin. Jesus died to take away sins, to cure sinners from that disease called sin, to heal sicknesses and the brokenhearted too. Is there anything too great for our God to do? Then use your faith and let's go for it, because that's what it's all about. Verse 16. That's right. Do not be deceived, or do not err. Now it says to err is human, but to forgive is divine. That's not a scripture. That's a proverb. Being deceived is very human. It's so easy to be deceived because there are so many voices out there begging for your attention. There's so many ways that you can be sidetracked. And if you can be sidetracked, then the devil's got you. That's his business, to sidetrack you, to get you off on a tangent, believing something that is just absolutely silly. But you can have that if you want it. Because sometimes people would rather believe a lie than the truth. I want to know the truth, and I want to put it to practice in my life, that I might correct my errors, that I might help others correct their errors, and that I might be successful in my walk with the Lord. Do you want to be successful in your walk with the Lord? I do. Next verse. Keep reading. And read another one. Stop. This is where I wanted you to see. I wanted to go here. Let everybody be swift to hear, slow to speak. How often are we swift to speak and slow to hear? Why did God give us two ears and one mouth? Twice as much listening as talking. We should listen more and talk less. We get in far less trouble when we talk less. Slow to wrath. How many have here hair trigger tempers? How many have a problem with your temper? Just a wee little one. Nobody but Sandy. Oh, Karen. Oh, yes. There's honesty. there's an outbreak of honesty in the congregation. Now, I might have a long fuse, but you can get me angry. There's a point that can be reached where I can get angry. You wouldn't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't ever want to experience that kind of anger, because we are capable of anything, because we are fallen creatures and we need a Savior to help us with our tempers. Those that raise their hand do anyway. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. How often are you angry and it's holy, righteous anger? Or is it, they offended me? How dare they? Righteous anger has its place. If I am angry at the injustice of abortion or abuse of the elderly, and there's a lot of elder abuse in this world today. They don't respect elders like they used to. Children used to sit and listen to elders talk, tell stories, and even if they heard it again and again and again, they used to still sit patiently and listen. Because as we get older, we tend to repeat ourselves, don't we? We do. But God is gracious to us. Oh, we need to lay apart, it says, verse 21, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That comes from loose talk. Is there loose talk? How many people, what they used to say in the Second World War? Loose lips sink ships. Well, let's not get there. Let's not have filthy tongues. Let's not be naughty. But it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Living faith is taking what you know to be true and acting upon it. Do what's right. Live the gospel. Be an example. Be what you need to be. And here's the beginning. For those of you who do not know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior, now is the time to get that done. Now is the time to commit your heart to Him and say, I am going to be a Christian. I am going to follow Jesus. I am willing to give up all my worldly possessions just to follow Him. I want to be right with God and heaven ready. And if you're one of those type of persons that wants to be right with God and heaven ready, and you'd like to do it today, this is the time to do it. Can we have heads bowed and eyes closed? Please. Anybody would like to raise their hand that we might pray for them, that we might pray that prayer of faith that would bring them to Christ, and they would know in their hearts that their sins have been forgiven and that they're right with God. Anybody want to pray that prayer today? And we'll pray for them. Thank you. I see that hand. Hands going up here and there. You've got to know this, folks. You've got to know Jesus personally. You've got to have that living faith that says, yes, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am heaven ready. Anybody else? Thank you. All over the place. We need to know this, folks. This is the beginning, the very beginning of faith. Excuse me. So let's do it together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on behalf of those that have raised their hands and said, I want to commit my life to you. I want you to forgive my sins. And let me understand in my heart that they are gone in the sea of your forgetfulness, that they have been dispensed of once and for all and never to be brought up again before you. Father, I ask you to forgive them. And myself, Lord, if there's been any sin in my life that needs to be taken care of, I confess it to you now. Please reveal it to me that I might repent of it. Because we want to be right with you. And should you come today, or should we be resurrected, we want to be heaven ready. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And could